The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
When it comes to our culture, in light of fatherhood, in light of authority, in light of nurturing, in light of education, in light of our learning, in light of discipleship, all of these types of things, there is something very, very important that we've got to remember today. We do not take our cues from the world.
That's right.
I just want to remind us of this. We do not take our cues from the world. Fathers, we do not operate in accordance with what the world desires. Children, we do not operate in accordance with what the world desires. How fathers train their children should not be in accord with what the world desires. We have got to be very clear about what Scripture has outlined for us when it comes to fatherhood, motherhood, and being a child, and how God actually sees children. Again, we don't take our cues from the world. We don't allow the world to tell us how we should view children. One of the interesting things that I've done over the last 10 years, so here's maybe even, you know, shorter, maybe 7 years. One of the things that I want to go through a little bit of statistics here, but I got to make sure that you know that these statistics that I have are actually 7 years old, so they need to be updated, but I'm still kind of waiting for the new updates that we have. But for us to understand, if you've done population studies or any studies in cultural anthropology, it's one of my favorite subjects in college was cultural anthropology. Anything that you can read on cultural anthropology is very, very enlightening, especially looking at it through the lens of Scripture. When it comes to population studies, it's said that the number 2.1 is what we need to average as a culture, as a population. This is what we need to average to replace ourselves when this generation dies. Okay? 2.1. So basically what they're saying is that every couple in our culture needs to have, we have to, as a population, we have to average 2.1 children in order for our population and our culture to continue. Okay? The U.S., as of 7 years ago, the U.S. is down to 1.9. Down since the 1970s. But people will say, well, yeah, Shane, our replacement rate is down, but our population has grown. Yeah, our population in the U.S. has grown. But did you know that it hasn't actually grown by reproduction? It's grown because of immigration. That's how our country has grown. We're not replacing ourselves, our culture. We are not replacing ourselves when it comes to this culture. And again, if we continue to not do this, then the culture as we know it is going to die. In our culture today, it may make a lot of people happy, actually. I'm not one of them. Our Western Europe, their number is actually down to around, certain countries are different, but it's around 1.4 to 0.9. One of the countries I want to point out is my quote-unquote origins, Japan. As you know that I'm half Japanese. Japan has a birth rate of 1.4. Now, this is what's really interesting about these numbers when it comes to population studies. If a country actually hits a replacement rate of 1.3, meaning that in this culture, the average birth rate is 1.3 children per couple, it's called the point of no return. If a culture gets to the place where the people are only reproducing themselves by 1.3 children, according to anthropology studies, no culture in the history of the world has survived. You get to a number of 1.3, the culture doesn't survive. So Japan is actually responding to this now. But more interesting, another country is in real trouble as well, and that country is Russia. A population of 140 million. At the rate they're going right now, statistics are showing that by 2050, okay, 140 million, by 2050, they're only going to have 70 million people alive in their country. They are shrinking by 700,000 people per year. Every year, that's how many people Russia is losing. 700,000 people. They understand this. They recognize this. No culture has survived once they hit 1.3. Everyone together collectively, 1.3 children per couple, essentially, right? So if you got two couples, you only have one child, are you replacing yourself? No. You're not replacing yourself. You're replacing yourself when you have at least two children, right? So 1.3, point of no return. Russia recognizes this. And so what are they doing? Do you know what they're doing? This is what they're doing. They're offering all the couples in Russia $9,000 if you have a child. If you say, hey, you know what, we're going to have a child, they're going to give you $9,000 if you have a child. Then they're going to give you $140 per month for every child that you have. If you were working or if you are working, they're going to give you 40% of your salary every single month per child. Wow. $9,000 a month, or $9,000 to have a child, $140 at least per month per child, or 40% of your family. Amazing, isn't it? I wish there was that incentive here in the U.S. But family, the thing is, so over the years, they have looked back on the statistics, they look back on research, is it working? No. It's actually not working in the country. The reason why, family, it's not working is because it is not an economic issue. Did you know that? It is not an economic issue. People are saying, hey, you know what? We're not going to have children because if we have children, we're going to fail economically. I mean, that's some of the message that you may be hearing in our culture today. But for the most part, that's not what they're saying. Some of the richest countries in the world have the lowest birth rates. Why is that? It's really interesting when you go through this. Why is that? The issue, ladies and gentlemen, family, here's the issue. The issue is lifestyle. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with economics. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It has to do with lifestyle. Because in our country, in the culture, in the world's culture, we're starting to see even more and more each day. The standard of living is actually more important than living. I mean, think about that. Think about that. I don't see a lot of heads nodding. You know I'm right. People care more about lifestyle than they do even about life today. I mean, think about it. Most people commit suicide because they don't have the kind of life they want, right? Depression, not because of life, but because we don't have the kind of life we want. And so if we can't have the kind of life we want, then there's no point in living. Lifestyle. This is the actual message that we're receiving from our culture. Because in our culture today, children are seen as a burden. Come on. Children are seen as a burden, a smaller ball and chain that we're connected to, an inconvenience, a wet rag, a drag, a broken bag. Weight on our shoulders. They interfere with my life, you name it. And why? the propaganda. Why are these things gaining in popularity? Why is this kind of becoming the norm? Because did you know that one of the biggest fears of leaders in cultures all over the world, one of the biggest fears is this thing called overpopulation? And I know you've heard this, people sounding the alarm, oh, we got to be careful with overpopulation. Overpopulation. There's, you know, if we have too many people in the world, they're just going to suck up all the resources. They're going to eat up all the food. When you got too much people, they're going to breathe all the air. Have you heard that one before? That's the one that gets me. It's like one day a child is going to be born, child starts breathing, and all of a sudden we all drop dead because there's no more air in the world. I mean, you've heard this, no food, there's not going to be room, we're not going to have this, we're going to drink all the water in the oceans, you know, if we have too many people, we're going to breathe all the air, all of those types of things, right? So we hear all of this stuff, and the biggest fear in our culture is overpopulation, but the reality is that these numbers don't work, these numbers don't operate, it's just not true. Why is this a big problem? Overpopulation isn't a problem for those who have, because all the things won't disappear. What has to happen if there's quote-unquote overpopulation is those people that have to share, and they don't want to. Now again, this isn't a sermon against rich people. It's not. Because this is all people. I mean, in our culture today, we just don't want to share. Because if we share, it's going to diminish my lifestyle. And I'm good with my lifestyle. And one of the biggest threats to my lifestyle is other people. So it goes, the propaganda, the announcements, the special guests on news broadcasts and articles and Time Magazine and all these things come out. Having children, it said, you know what? If you have children, say goodbye to date night. Say goodbye to your free time. Say goodbye to sleep. Say, children are at least a 25-year death sentence. That's an actual quote I got from a magazine. And even though, family, we see ecologists are saying that there's plenty of food, what there will be are limits on the kind of food available to us as people. So the fear is not that we are afraid that overpopulation will cause food to run out again. We are afraid that certain kinds of food are going to run out. Our culture is not necessarily about the preservation of life, but the preservation of a lifestyle. And if we get this, man, things are going to become a lot more clear. And some will say, well, hey, man, Shane, the propaganda is not working for the most part. I mean, people are still having children. Many say that this is not true. Well, since 1973, the year I was born, there have been more than 54 million abortions. You think the message isn't getting through? More than 20% of women in England have decided to have no kids. Psychologists are finding women are now admitting that they actually love one child more than another. Parents have admitted over the years that they hate their kids. Finding that those who have no kids, some of the psychological reviews, no kids, the parents that have no kids have lower emotional stress. Good for the emotions? Maybe. But good for people? There's a trend, actually, believe it or not, with restaurants. First restaurants, they were successful. They banned smoking. Do you know what they want to ban now? Kids. actually read in an article, I'm not sure how true this is, but it seemed like it was a complaint that was being filed by a lady in Missouri, because Whole Foods, that grocery store we all know, Whole Foods in Missouri, they're now offering no kid hours in the store. Show up to the store with kids, kids aren't allowed to come in. Good for business? Maybe. Good for people? I remember growing up, my older cousin, she used to date this guy, and he actually lived in an apartment building that didn't allow kids. I've heard of apartment buildings not allowing pets, but this apartment building actually didn't allow children. Now, we were children at the time, so we were always paranoid, you know, because I didn't know what that meant. You know, I'm like an 8-year-old kid, you know, walking with my cousin in this apartment that doesn't allow kids. Now, apparently, you know, the kids can visit, but just kids can't live there. But I don't know that kind of stuff, right? So the whole time I'm just paranoid, walking with my cousin in there going, what do they do if we're here? Are they going to take us to jail? If I'm caught, am I going to prison? Are they going to kill us? What is going to happen? I'm just terrified the whole time. I remember then, you know, when my cousin said, hey, I'm going to go visit my boyfriend. And me and my sister were like, ah, please, don't, I don't want to go to jail. Many in the psychological arenas assert that men and women, if they have children, they will not be able to achieve the greatness they were destined for. This goes as far back as Aristotle. Good for progress? Maybe. Good for people? What we see here is revealing how we today see children. But it is not what God has revealed to us about children. So let me say this again. We do not take our cues from the world. God says that children are a blessing. God says that children are a heritage. God says that children are a reward. Well, I guess God better get with the times. Or just a thought, maybe the times need to get with God. Yeah. And this is one of the things that's been troubling, is that these ideas, these concepts, all of this types of stuff, it's penetrating the church more than I think that in a lot of ways that we would like to admit. You know, and I wasn't able to go to the national convention of the SBC this year, but I watched a lot of the videos. I've been reading a lot of the comments and the thing. One of the things that I've seen with some of the writing and some of the responses that we're giving was the constant message that us as Southern Baptists, the message that we got from the platform this year at the National Convention was, the world is watching us. So all the things that were coming, all the things that we were voting for, the new president, all of the things that happened even with the new president, all the things, whether these things are true or not. One of these things I'm trying to find out about NAM, if it was really true what NAM did, because that would have just been horrible. But, you know, all these things that happened, the message that kept saying is that we are doing these things because the world is watching us. I get that. But we can't forget, God is watching us too. So here's the thing. My question is, or my comment that I want to make today is, we don't take our cues from the world. I understand the world is watching us. But here's the thing, family. There are a lot of things that we're doing as the church that the world doesn't like. This is us trying to be obedient to the Lord. And by us being obedient to the world, the world's not going to like it. Therefore, the world, yes, is watching us. They don't like it. Too bad. Because God is watching me too. And there's a lot of pressure with this. There's a lot of pressure when it comes to the church. You know, I know one pastor even said, well, hey, Shane, you know, he pastors a church. I want to say there's maybe like 3,000 or 4,000 people in his church. Hey, Shane, you know, it's so easy for you to say all of those kinds of things because, you know, you don't have as much to lose as I do. To which my response to him was, hey, look, if I lose one couple, one person of the church, it is as big as anything you lose. You know? I mean, you think, oh, well, I could lose thousands. You know, you lose one or two people, I could lose thousands. I'm just like, yeah, but our church is small. You do realize what one person leaving is going to do to us. You know, it's devastating, right? So the thing is, family, so I get all of these times. It's easy for them to say these, or for me to say all of these kinds of things. But the reality is, family, I'm more terrified of offending God the Father than I am of this world. Yeah. They all talk about thousands of people. I have an audience of 1,000 people, and I have an audience of one. And I fear more about what this one is going to do to me than what 1,000 or 1,000,000 people will do to me in this world. We don't take our cues from the world. And there is a lot of pressure on the church right now, right? Because, God, family, let's just be honest. We're seeing all this stuff. I didn't want to deal with this too much, okay? So I'll make sure I just is real quick. You know, because there's this, you know, this whole thing that's going, this wave of going about, you know, our battle with racism and our battle with society, battle with culture, our battle with social justice. We see all of these types of things, critical race theory and all of that stuff. And so there's a lot of pressure that's happening. There's a lot of pressure that's being put on people, and I understand, I get it. I don't like that pressure either. I don't like when people ask me those kinds of questions. I don't like all of this kinds of stuff, but the reality is what's happening with the church today is there's a lot of pressure on the church. Because if you know anything about critical race theory actually comes from critical theory, who has the outlook, the lens, that our world is made up of oppressed and oppressor. That's our world. There are those who are oppressed, and there are those who oppress. Oppressed and oppressor. Do you know what the main leaders of critical race theory, or it's not critical race, it's just critical theory. The leaders, you know, they're mentioning all those who are oppressors today, right? Oppressors today, those that fall into this demographic, in this category. If you're in this category, you're an oppressor. If you're in this category, you're an oppressed. Family, did you know that every one of these guys, professors in all these schools, every one of them, do you know what they list in the category of oppressor? Christians. Family, we're oppressors. We are named by these leaders in critical theory. They're saying that Christians, the church, are the oppressors. So that's why there's all this scrambling with the church right now. That's why you're seeing a lot of bizarre decisions even happening in the Roman Catholic Church that's happening recently. A lot of things happening in the Protestant Church as to how we're seeing certain things, why we're battling over things that have been dealt with and done with for years and years and years now. All of these types, all of this stuff. And we're just battling and all these weird decisions are happening. Why? Well, the reason why it's happening is because we have pressure. There's a lot of pressure being put on the church right now. And I get it. I see it. I recognize it. I understand it. And so, fathers, if you think the pressure is going to stop with the church, no. The pressure is going to come down. It's going to trickle down. And it's going to put pressure upon you and put pressure upon your family. And I'm telling you just from personal experience, the pressure is happening to fathers now. Decisions that we have to make, things trying to protect our children from, all of these types of things when it comes to fathers and discipling our children, discipling our extended family, talking to our extended family. There's all types of pressures that's happening. But family, I say all of that just to undergird my statement that I made earlier. Fathers, church, Christian, we do not, even if there is a ton of pressure, enough pressure to make a diamond, we do not take our cue from the world. We take our cues from Scripture. Children, our culture is saying that children are a burden because children will keep us from achieving what the world values. Children are a burden because they will keep us what is actually not from God. If our priorities and our values are not from God, then children will actually be seen as a burden. If our treasures are not from God, we will think that these things are a curse. But remember, it's the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life that are the curse. Can't believe the lie today. Hold fast to what is true about children. And what is true about children? God wants them. Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Here is another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, weeping, and groaning because he pays no attention to your offerings and doesn't accept them with pleasure. You cry out, "Why doesn't the Lord accept my worship?" I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young, but you have been unfaithful to her, though she remained your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart, remain loyal to the wife of your youth. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And I pray that it will continue to accomplish all that you intend. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we're going to look at today is God's desire for children. So I knew the introduction was going to be long, so I only have 2 points to the sermon today. And then the second thing we're going to look at is the Lord and how he's done a wonderful work in making us children of God in Christ. So our thesis statement today is this: though sin and the pattern of this world cause us to see God's blessing and a burden, it is the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that will transform our hearts and our minds to truly treasure the treasures of Christ. So point number one, the desire for children. Having children is actually the will of God. Did you know that? I kind of wonder sometimes. Do we know that God actually wants us to have children? So what we're going to see here in our Mother's Day, Father's Day passages, I picked this passage to be kind of the text for our Mother's Day and Father's Day sermons. It's an answer to the question that's asked. Did not the Lord make you one with your wife? So if you're married, you're asking yourself that question, why did the Lord make me one with my wife? Was it not God that joined the two of us together, the two of you together? This is the concept of covenant, and we talked about this on Mother's Day. This is what it means when you hear the two are one flesh. But why did he make the two become one flesh? He made the two become one so that he could have godly offspring from the union. Again, the two made one so that there would be godly offspring. So what is he saying here? He's saying that the Lord brought us together so that we could have godly offspring. We could have godly children. And in Malachi's time, just like we have today, we're seeing the marriage institution being threatened. The concept of covenant needed to be declared. There needs to be faithfulness to each other. This behavior that's going on right now with all of you is detrimental to the original fruit of the institution of marriage, and that fruit is children. But see, this is not a new idea. Children has always been vital to our understanding of a marriage relationship. I remember my dad was even saying, well, maybe not my dad, my grandfather used to say to me when I was young, he's just like, "Oh, Shane, yeah, you know, you want to get married." What was the first question? Some of your parents might have said this. The first question my grandpa would ask me when I said, "Hey, you know, I want to get married someday. Are you ready to have kids?" Are you? And I was like, well, no. Then why are you even thinking about marriage? I mean, it's so equated. I think that even the generation before us, they've just put that together. And I think that concept, that idea is right there. It's right there. God gives us the command. God has told us it is the will of God. God gives the command to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Be fruitful and multiply. And we see the same directive given to Noah after the flood. Even after the flood, the directive has not changed. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Fill the earth. Fill it. How are we supposed to fill it? We fill it by being fruitful and multiplying. This is God's original design. He did not say, hey, I want you guys to be fruitful, and if you can afford it, or if you have extra time, multiply. Right? Children are the reason for the unity. He commands mankind to multiply. He expects mankind to multiply. It is an imperative. It is not an option. This is why there is a union, why there is marriage. This is why there is a covenant. Now, I just want to make sure I say this. Now, there are those couples who can't have children for many different reasons why they can't. Physical inability, medical reasons, but all are in the hands of God, and it's all a mystery. And that's one of the things I want us to see when it comes to that. That is a whole sermon in and of itself when it comes to just biblical barrenness and all of that stuff. But the thing when it comes to this kind of stuff, it's a mystery. It is a command of God, but at the same time, children are also a gift. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 2, then Jacob became furious with Rachel. Am I God? He asked. He's the one who has kept you from having children. Genesis 33, 5. Then Esau looked at the women and children and asked, who are these people with you? These are the children God has graciously given to me, your servant, Jacob replied. So again, let me just say this. The ins and outs of the problem of barrenness can be extensive, but this is not what I want to address at any length, but I do want to make sure that we understand that it is a mystery. There's a mystery about this. But one thing we can know for sure, that children are the will of God. And so if you are able to have children, God is expecting children. This is clearly the will of the Father. But like I say all the time, no matter what the world and our culture may assert, if God commands something, shouldn't that be enough? I always wonder about that, right? It's like sometimes when my children are asking and I tell them to do something and they look at me and they have those bright eyes, those inquiring minds, and they look at you and they smile and they go, why? How many of y'all ever wanted to just wring their necks? When? Isn't that, but right, Al, isn't that our first response? Why can't it just be that? Why can't it just be, you're going to do this because I said so? Right? Why can't it just be that? My question has always been, why can't it just be that when it comes to the command of God? If God says no, why is it that we've always got to be? Well, Shane, can you help me understand why? Can you give me some biblical, practical reasons as to why? Can you find some kind of passage? Can you even look at this passage in the Hebrew? Can you just look at this passage in the Greek? Are you sure that this is the only way you can interpret this passage? Why is it that when God says something, it can't just be, yes, sir? But like I say all the time, it never is enough. And God knows this. And that's why God says something even more. So yes, number one, we should have children because God just commands it. Number two, but in God's wonderful grace, he gives us something more. The world, they're calling children a burden. Scripture calls children a blessing. Psalm chapter 127, verses 5 to 3. Psalm 127, 5 to 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Scriptures are saying that children are a gift from God, number one. Children are a reward from God. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. And I just think about that in the war all the time. How would you like it if you were fighting a war, you're an archer, you reach back to grab the arrow like Robin Hood? Well, it would be like Legolas today, right? Anyway, reach to grab the arrow, and there's none there. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them? Hey, you guys are going to the Renaissance Festival. Make sure you got arrows in your quiver, okay? Arrows in the quiver. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gate. So you see very descriptive passage of scripture as how much children are a gift from the Lord, how they are a reward from God. John 16, verse 21, John 16, 21, it will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world with joy. What an amazing thing for us to have children. Clearly, the scriptures assert something even more grand about children than the message we are getting from our culture. Oh, but Shane, you don't understand. You don't get it. Today, family, again, let's not get caught in the, you know what, Shane, this is just your interpretation. When it comes to this passage in the Psalm, family, there's no illusion, there's no veil, there's no symbolism, there's no enigma, there's no textual variant, there's no mistake in the extant writing, family, the scriptures make it clear. Children are a blessing and God desires them. Period. That's it. Children are a blessing. It's what God is calling them. God wants them. And one of the things that just absolutely impacts me is listening to our beloved reformer, Martin Luther, when he wrote on this idea and this whole topic, because this stuff was happening even back then in the 16th century. Martin Luther says this, "The purpose of marriage is not pleasure and ease, but the procreation and education of children and the support of a family." People, now this is brutal. Just bear with me. Don't get mad at me. This is Martin Luther now, okay? Get mad at me. People who do not like children are swine. It doesn't end there. Dunces. And blockheads. Not worthy to be called men and women. Woo! Brutal! Like seriously, brutal! This is what he called them. Not worthy to be called men and women. And he gives the reason why he says this. And this is so true, family. Because they despise the blessing of God. Isn't that? Oh, and I read that. It was just like, it just chills up my spine. I'm just like, oh gosh, there goes Martin Luther again. Just saying the stuff that he says. But then he said that because they despise God's blessing. You know what? If you despise God's blessing, then you're a blockhead. It's true. So, do you see how serious this is? This is a very, very serious thing. Luther is pointing out something. Why are we calling children a burden Why are we calling children a 25-year death sentence when God calls them a blessing and God says, this is my gift, this is my reward to you? Do you imagine doing that? Dads, today we got gifts, right? I mean, my children gave me gifts this morning. Hey, Dad, thank you so much. You're a good father. Here's your gift. Another burden. Well, I mean, if they gave me another tie like they did last year, then it is a burden. But I'm just kidding. Another burden. Another weight on my shoulder. Another disappointment. I just hate these gifts that you guys give me. How would you feel if somebody did that to a gift that you gave? How do you think the Lord feels about the gifts that he gives to us? They are to be treasured. They're to be trained. They're to be nurtured. And let me say that I think this falls right into one of those big woes. Woe to him who calls good evil and evil good. But our culture continues to deceive. Our culture continues to despise the blessings of God. In the February edition of Psychological Science, there was an article I was reading in there, and it says, although raising children has largely negative effects on parents' emotional well-being, parenthood is often idealized as a uniquely emotional rewarding role. They're making fun of all those Christians and all those people that are saying, oh, being a parent is rewarding, or children are a blessing. And the Psychological Science magazine is saying, raising children has largely negative effects on parents. Even Time magazine. Do you know Time magazine actually had a Why Having Kids is Foolish edition? Why Having Kids is Foolish edition. In Time magazine, they write this: having kids is an economic and an emotional drain. It should make those who have kids feel worse. Instead, parents glorify their lives. They believe that the financial and emotional benefits of having children are significantly higher than they really are. Having kids is an economic and an emotional drain. And if you have kids, you should feel bad about it. Again, family, let's not allow the culture to ruin the treasures of the Lord. Again, we do not take our cues from the world. What we treasure are the wonderful treasures that Christ provides for us. Remember, the blessings of the world are fleeting. They're only vapor. They are chasing the wind. When we think of all the things that we are told are the world's reasons that children are a burden, why children are a curse, why they're a 25-year life or death sentence, all of the things that they say that you would gain if you didn't have children is everything the book of Ecclesiastes condemned. Oh, it's phenomenal. When you see this or see, look at all this stuff. Look at the reasons when you say, oh, children are a burden. Children are an economic, emotional strain. Children are these bad things. Go down the list and look at all of the things they say children keep you from having. Look at all of those things. Everything that they talk about. Ecclesiastes absolutely condemns it. And it always comes into the four categories of power, pleasure, profit, and popularity. It's said that when you have children, it will keep you from having the influence and the power that you ultimately desire. But family, did you know that power of the world is no power at all? Right? Jesus even said that. You think you have power over me? All things in this world are made by him, through him, and for him. Yeah. So you're not going to have children so that you can gain power, which is no power at all. Huh. It's said that children will keep you from having fun. It'll keep you from the pleasures of life. You know, and that was one of the things I was always told when I was growing up. Man, it's going to keep you from having fun. Man, I tell you what, I have more fun with them. I have way more fun with them than I do with my wife. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. It's said that children will keep us from having fun, falling into the category of pleasure. Did you know that Ecclesiastes makes it clear? Pleasure is never satisfied. Did you know that? Pleasure is never satisfied. You can't ever satisfy pleasure. Pleasure is like hunger. No matter how much I eat, you go to the all-you-can-eat buffet, and you eat more food than you have ever seen in your entire life, and I guarantee you one day, you will be hungry again. And it will probably be the next day. It's never satisfied. So if pleasure and fun and all of those things are never satisfied, then it will never change whether you have children or not. Isn't that funny? It's said that children are expensive and you will not have the financial security that you really want. But did you know that financial security cannot go with you when you die? And when you die, you're going to leave all that money, not to your children, because you don't have any. Instead, you're going to leave the money to the bank that was stealing money from you with hidden fees. Or it's going to go to a nonprofit. Or it's going to go to your lawyer who's been after your wife all those years you were alive. I tell you, I know I told this story before, I'm going to tell it again. When I was pastoring in Hawaii, me and our family had a house, and right next to our house was this really nice guy, a really nice older guy. And they lived in a house, and the house we were renting, we didn't own it. These houses on the street were just like multi-million dollar houses. This guy owned it, sitting right next to us, tons of money. And he went up to Janine and said, you know what, I love that you had kids. And he was looking at our kids running around. I love that you have kids. He goes, me and my wife decided that we were going to pick money over children. So he says, we've got all the money in the world, all the money that we know what to do with. And he told Janine that that was the worst mistake he'd ever made. Sad hearing that. The worst mistake he ever made was picking money over children. It's said that children will keep you from getting the fame and the popularity that you could actually have. But even if you get all the fame and the popularity, it will not last, and another generation will come who rises up and has no idea who you are. Isn't that true? And here's the thing, when it comes to our generation, they don't know who you are, and they don't care who you are. All that the world will say that children will keep from you are all the things the Lord is saying are meaningless and not worth it. All the money in the world, you could have all the money in the world, you could have it all, and when you die, it's still going to be here. But I know this with all my heart. When I die, one day I'm going to see all three of them. And they will be with me, with the Lord, forever and ever and ever. They're a gift. They're a blessing. So I guess the question is, who are we going to believe? Who are we going to believe? The world says they're a burden. The Lord says they're a blessing. And so this is the thing that I think is absolutely amazing. Do you know that the picture of marriage and the bearing of children is a wonderful illustration of the marriage that happens between Christ and his church? Right? Ephesians teaches us that. That marriage between a man and a woman is an illustration and a picture to illustrate the marriage that Christ and the relationship that Christ has with his church. Christ united together. And the scripture is very, very vivid. If you abide in me and I in you, what's going to happen in that union? We're going to bear fruit. And one of the amazing things that we bear together, and I'll never forget the time I saw this connection. Together we bear fruit. And what is one of the most important fulfilling fruit that we bear with our union with Christ as a church? What happens when we evangelize? Tell someone about Christ. Share the gospel. You ever done this? Share the gospel. And it's like an amazing, miraculous light comes on. The individual has faith and declares that Jesus is Lord. Do you know what happens at that moment with our union with Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of Scripture, and the power of the gospel of Jesus? That individual becomes a child of God. Children is a picture of more than just arrows in our quiver. Children is a reflection of the wonderful fruit of the gospel that Christ desires to bring God's children to him. This is why we call and cry out, Abba, Father, that we today, Christian, you today, can look up to heaven and see our Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe, the living God, and you can call him Daddy. But see, here's the problem, right? This is where we have the issue. The problem, why are we continuing to be drawn to the things of the world? I'm not the first preacher to get behind the pulpit and tell the congregation not to take their cues from the world. All throughout Scripture. What good is it for you to gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Doesn't make any sense. It's all over the place. I'm not the first. Why do we continue to be drawn to the things of this world over and over and over again? Do you know why? Let's be honest, family. Do you know why we're drawn to the things of the world? Because what the world offers is what we want. I mean, come on. This would not be an issue. This would not be an issue if the world wasn't giving us what we wanted. We wouldn't struggle with this. We wouldn't have a problem with this. We want what the world gives. Why? Because the scriptures make it very clear. Because we are by nature children of this world. The Bible says that we are by nature children of wrath. Jesus even referred to some of us as being children of the devil. Why? Because of sin. And sin is real in us. All of us. Psalm 51:5. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. Even as children, we were displaying this truth. Even as children, we were displaying sin. As children, we were showing the whole world that we are by nature children of this world. Sin nature. I've said it before, I'll say it again. That is the best non-biblical example of sin nature. Oh, I don't think we have a sin nature. I don't even have to use the Bible. Do you have children? I'll prove to you that we all have a sin nature. It's called children. We never had to teach them how to do wrong. Right? Did you ever have to teach your child to be selfish? Sit them down and be like, hey, no righteousness here. Let me teach you how to be selfish. We always had to teach good things, right? We always had to teach them how to share. We always had to teach them how not to scream, how to use their inside voice. We had to teach them how to do all of these things. Because that's the reality. While we were children, sin was there. And the wages of sin is death. But family, our Lord, our Heavenly Father, the good, good Father that we have, He didn't just throw up His hands and say, oh well, oh, these kids, they're just a burden. They're just a curse. There's this, these horrible creatures running around. No. He didn't just leave us to our demise. Because we are His children. And He loved us. And He so loved us that He sent His one and only Son. Family, salvation is here. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. The Bible makes it very clear that He Himself, He bore our sins in His body on a tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed, family. And because of what Christ has done, we become children of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Salvation is here for us. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible promised that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Repent and believe. Salvation is here. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. And something wonderful happens when we become Christians. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Rejoice this Father's Day, family. Our Heavenly Father loves us. He desires us. And we thank Him for, through Christ and the power of the Spirit, we became children of God. Because of this, did you know, He's our daddy. We are His children. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs. And if we are His heirs, then that means you and I are kings and queens of the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.